When it comes to crop insurance, it's difficult to find the answers that you're looking for easily. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Josh Scramlin. And recently I was able to have a conference call with a group of people from Rural Mutual Insurance, and each one of them specialized in something unique. So here at the Farm Report, we got them all together on the phone and tried our best to give you the answers that you might be looking for as you consider your options with things such as prevent plant and hail insurance, or even trying to get all the deadlines straight. To start off the conversation, I'm going to direct this first question at Jenny Brown. She is a multi-peril crop specialist for Rural Mutual Insurance Company. And Jenny, there's so many moving parts when it comes to prevent plant, but what are the key points that farmers need to know?
There's so many factors with prevent plant. The biggest thing on deciding whether or not they should take prevent plant is, the big ones are they going for grain? Are they going for forage? You know, do they need to feed that? The maturity of the seed, what they're able to do with, you know, that grain or that forage if we get an early frost, considering drying costs if in fact we do get that early frost and they were planning to go to grain. Cover crop alternative is also really big if they're going to get in too late to do, you know, anything with something for grain or for forage, what their other alternative options are there. And another big factor is the crop prices. You know, what they're planting, are they going to be able to get a representative price for that? I guess another thing I would tell people when they're dealing with prevent plants, especially when they have insurance, the best thing they can do to have as much clarity as possible is to talk to their insurance agent.
And not to interrupt, but I just want to ask, do you know what the parameters are for cover crops?
The definition that we pretty much have is, you know, an acceptable cover crop has to be something that's approved by an ag expert. So whether that's extension or, you know, that's how it's termed for crop insurance, but it really depends on, you know, how that's defined. So that's where working with your crop insurance agent on that is going to be the best bet with that, and as well as when your final plant dates are, depending on the crop, the final late plant dates, and then what they're able to do with that ground or that crop or that cover crop.
Right now I'm on the phone with Jenny Brown. She is a multi-peril crop specialist with Rural Mutual Insurance. And Jenny, going off the definition that a cover crop must be approved by an ag expert, what would you say are the no-brainer cover crops and what are the crops that you might want to stay away from?
Some no-brainer ones would be they're going to go in with tillage radishes or something like that that you're really not going to potentially harvest for a feed that you're really using to kind of keep that soil biology in good health and just maybe go under with it as sort of a green manure. Questionable cover crops would maybe be peas and oats. We have had some people use soybeans. You know, if you've already bought the seed, it's treated, you can't do anything with it, but you're figuring it's going to be, you know, too short of a period for you to get any grain off of it. Some people plant that and just go under with it again as green manure. So those might be some of the more questionable cover crops.
There was some huge news last week as the USDA adjusted the 2019 final haying and grazing date from November 1st to September 1st because of all the flooding and excess rainfall this spring. And while we're talking about it, are there any cutting or harvest restrictions with prevent plant?
As far as the cutting and the harvesting, that's where you really want to talk to your agent. And I guess talking deadlines, letting your agent know, we say we need to know within 72 hours of you're either not going to plant or within your final plant date. But crop insurance dates and FSA dates are different. FSA, they need to know within 15 days. So again, working with your agent and FSA is key with prevent plant.
My next question kind of revolves around worst case scenario situation, but I'm really curious to know some more information about hail coverage, because all it would take would be one big hailstorm to roll through and completely ruin everything that's not already ruined. And going off the hail coverage, maybe we could talk a little bit about hemp coverage as well, because that's a new area of expertise that we're all kind of wading into together. Maybe this would be a question that David Beyer, Rural Mutual Agribusiness Underwriter and Crop Hail Specialist, could answer. David?
So as far as hail goes, we cover all crops across Wisconsin, and this year we started also a crop hail coverage for industrial hemp. So just briefly, last year there were about 250 farmers that applied for the industrial hemp registration with the Department of Agricultural, Trade, and Consumer Protection, and of those, there were 183 growers that actually got approved for registration. And of those, only 139 farmers actually planted. This is in 2018. There were about 1,800 acres that were planted in fields across the state last year. And last year, as we know, it was quite a wet spring, and it left standing water in a lot of those fields and ended up wiping out quite a few of those crops. And whether they found that they planted their seeds too deep or resulted in poor germination or competition from weeds. Of those, 21 of those failed the THC test, and some only by a fraction of a percent. This year, I think there was over 1,400 applications that were applied for this year. So it's obviously starting to really catch on. Also, the University of Wisconsin Agricultural Department is doing quite a bit of field research on this, mainly to try to how to keep the THC levels down, which is obviously a risk for the farmers, one of the risks. But getting back to the hail part of it, we started up our crop hail for hemp this year, and we had some, and we're just using our basic crop hail policy, but we've added some other conditions onto that. One of the things that hemp growers have to have in order to grow hemp is a registration and license with DATCAP, which we're pretty much aware of. We also asked that they provide us with that information as well as their 2019 outdoor field planting report, which is also supplied by DATCAP. So within 30 days after they plant, they have to provide that planting report to DATCAP. We need to have that so we can verify exactly where those acres are planted in order to insure them, because we insure them by the acre. We also want to know what their estimated cost of production is, whether it's from whether the hemp is being grown for grain or fiber, or if it's being grown for CBD. And right now, we're seeing more people planting for CBD around Wisconsin right now because of the potential market price for it. You know, at the end of the season, if they do have a hail claim during the year, we will send out our adjusters to take a look at it, take lots of notes, and gather lots of information and data points. And after harvest, they will need to provide us with a fit for commerce certificate, which certifies that their THC levels were below 0.3% dry weight. And then we will adjust the claim accordingly. It's a whole new can of worms that we're all working with, including the insureds. They're learning lots of stuff, too, on how to keep their THC levels down, how to promote the best growing practices.
Awesome. David, thank you so much for that answer. Once again, that is David Beyer. He is a hail specialist with Rural Mutual Insurance. And I guess for everybody on the phone, just to start to wrap up, what are the most common questions that you were getting from your clients in the insurance office?
Prevent Plant has definitely been the dominant or predominant in all the calls that we've been getting. It's just customers wanting to know their plant dates, how much they're going to get per acre, you know, whether it's corn, beans, and just how it all works. And I guess one of the common misconceptions out there is that people are getting rich off of Prevent Plant payments, which is simply not true. For by far and in large, a Prevent Plant payment is usually just going to cover rent in many cases, and maybe just, you know, a little bit over. It's only a portion of an insured's guarantee. They're by no means taking money to the bank and just able to sit back and not do anything for the rest of the year. They definitely want to get that crop in, if at all possible, to make as much money off that ground as they can.
All right. Thank you very much, Jenny. And then, David, did you want to add anything to that?
And I think I'd add to that, too, what you mentioned about the MFP, which is the Market Facilitation Plan. And I think, Jenny, you mentioned that they have to report that within 15 days once they know about that, if they're growing a cover crop anyhow. And they may, not necessarily, but they may qualify for a minimal amount of that 2019 MFP, because that's encompassing a lot of different things, including the hurricane disasters and everything like that, too. So it sounded like a big number that was put out there, but it's being spread out through a lot of different things that happened last year and this year.
All right, well, thank you so much, everybody, for your answers and your time. Again, those were the folks from Rural Mutual Insurance. 2019 has been anything but easy for Wisconsin farmers, and we here at the Farm Report just wanted to maybe give you some of the answers that you've been looking for, or at least point you in the right direction as you start to figure out what your next steps are going to be. No matter where you're at or who is helping you, make sure to always consult your local agent before making any decisions. And reporting from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Josh Scramlin.